Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter number 3. This is the Gimel Psalm. Gimel is the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the Gimel means to lift up, means exaltation or to ascend. It speaks of blessing and unity, culmination, loving kindness. That's what the letter Gimel means, to lift up, to exalt. This is what we find here in the third psalm. This is a psalm that's accredited to David, being written by David while he is in exile, running from his son Absalom. Absalom, of course, comes in and gets the 10 northern tribes on his side. Absalom is a very charismatic young man and a beautiful fella, even. I mean, everybody liked to look at him, and so it was pretty easy for him to win over the hearts and minds of Israel. He had the 10 northern tribes. Then he moved down into Jerusalem, and they pretty well followed him as well, Benjamin and Judah there, and he took the kingdom fairly easily from David. David ran to keep from having to face Absalom and to fight him, and he got out of the kingdom. David fled, went across the brook Kidron and prayed there before the Lord and asked the Lord's direction and help in this. Of course, it would not be long that Absalom's kingdom would fall apart and Absalom himself would be dead. And David, being the rightful king, be put back in place again. But this is while David is running from Absalom that he writes this psalm. And this psalm, as you see with all the psalms have meanings that apply to different people. It's applying to David specifically. He's the one that wrote it. He's talking about his condition that he is in. We see an application for Israel as a nation in this, because David being the representative of Israel here, this speaks of Israel's future and what they would face, especially during the tribulation period. We see some examples here in this passage as well, where this applies to Israel's time of hardship that they will face during the tribulation, and God yet being with them and keeping them through that, them being His elect, and He will provide that security for them. So we see that application as well. But the application I want us to most assuredly see is the application to Christ. David representing the Lord Jesus himself here, and what the hardship our Lord would face as he would go to the cross for us and take upon himself our sin, being made our sacrifice for us. And we see these same things being spoken of him. And so here we see this Gimel psalm here, this third psalm, as David writes concerning the Lord's provision and protection, even in the midst of this trouble. It begins in verse 1. He says, "Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah. For thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah." Here David writes this psalm, and again he is writing from the perspective of losing his kingdom. Though it be temporary, David did not know that when he's leaving. And he gets out of Israel. I think there was, this is recorded for us in 2 Samuel, I think chapter 15 through chapter 18. You can read about these events that took place. I believe there were 600 and some odd people that went with David and actually were traveling with him as he escaped Jerusalem. There were others that came with him that had pledged their loyalty to them, and David said, no, go back. Go back to the kingdom. Go back to Jerusalem. You be the eyes and ears for me there in Absalom's kingdom, and you go upset Absalom's advisors and so on. And so there were some that he sent back to be spies for him, but there was, I think, 600 and some odd that actually were traveling with him as he escaped from Jerusalem as Absalom drew closer to take the kingdom. But as David went, David follows much the same path of the Lord here, as the Lord would leave out from the upper room there as he had dined with his apostles, and he goes out and crosses over the brook Kidron and goes up into the Garden of Gethsemane there and prays. David takes that same route as he crosses Kidron and goes up on the mountain there and prays. We see a great deal of similarity when you read what happened with David and the very trek that he would follow out of the city that night. You see the same thing with the Lord. And when he was just the night before his crucifixion doing the exact same things that David did here in this period, then David goes out and he asks the question of the Lord there in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise against me. The majority here sided with Absalom, it seems. They were following after him headlong. And David saw no way of keeping his kingdom. He saw no way of standing against the crowds that were coming against him. And he asked this question, how are they increased that trouble me? What is it that's caused so many of them to rise up? It says in verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. This is the accusation that they brought. David has no help in God, and he's been rejected by God. David. He's been rejected by God. Why is it that they were saying he'd been rejected by God? Why is it that they're saying David no longer was receiving the blessings of God, that God was no longer watching over David's kingdom? Well, this is shortly after the events of David's sin with Bathsheba and the birth of Solomon, and this, I mean, it's been a period of years, but this is right after all of these things are unfolding. You have the situation with Amnon and Amnon raping his sister there, and Absalom killing Amnon, and all the back and forth going on in the family situation that they were facing there, and David not, on one hand, not giving proper justice in the situation with Amnon, and at the same time not correcting or guiding Absalom and kind of letting Absalom run wild there in this situation. You have all these things that are brewing together, and it just gets worse and worse and worse as it goes through this time period, until suddenly Absalom is receiving the accolades of the people. Absalom is the one the people's eyes on. Absalom is the one we want as our king. We don't want David, we want Absalom. And so the people are looking to Absalom, and suddenly David is overwhelmed with now those that are against him, those that lauded him, those that praised him, those that sang songs about him. David, Saul's killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s, they would sing. And now those same people that were singing those songs of praise before are now praising Absalom instead of David. And David said, how's this happened to me? How is it that they have increased? How is it that they've got that all of these people were standing against me, and these people now are saying God's no longer on my side? And then after he says that in verse number 2, when they cry out, there's no help for him. There's no help for him in God. We see these same accusations. Hold your place here. Go back with me to Matthew 27. We see these same accusations leveled against the Lord, even while he was on the cross for us. Matthew 27, verse number 38, down through verse number 44. We read these same kind of accusations. There's no help for him in God. They said over his head the accusation, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. And it says, then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. He has no help from God. If he's really from God, if he's really the Son of God, then God would not allow him to go through this. He has no help from God. Even those two thieves that hung on either side of him, even they were reviling him with the same things. Awful bold of those two, wasn't it? One, however, had his heart opened up by the Lord. And he realized who he was. His tune changed while he hung there on the cross. Lord, remember me, and thou enterest into thy kingdom. And Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Same things, the same responses, the same accusations are thrown at the Lord, and it would appear that they were right. For right after that, he would say in verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But they didn't even understand that. They said, always crying out for Elias, for help. That was only for that hour. As our Lord was made payment for our sins, because we know 3 days and three nights later, he arose from his grave. And Peter said he arose from his grave there in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 24. Peter reminds us here that he arose from his grave because God rose him from his grave. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. And then he says, in verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. Just like those accusations were wrong in regards to Christ, so were those accusations wrong in regards to David as well. And that's what David goes on to say here in our text. He ends verse 2 there of this, and he says, many there be which say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. And then he uses that little word that we only find in the Psalms and a couple times someplace else. I can't remember now where else it's at. In one of the minor prophets. Is it in Hosea that it's found? That word Selah. One of the other minor prophets, the word Selah is found. But mostly, primarily we find it here in the book of Psalms. Now, the word Selah, there's a lot of ideas about what Selah is and what it means. It's mostly accepted as a musical rest. But it's the Syriac explains it to be a rest for singing, because they're about to play a musical interlude. And so when you come to the Selah, it's time for you to quit singing and listen to the music. Most often, how we find it written for us here in the Psalms is you have the Selah, you have that rest there because you're about to receive some further information. You're about to receive some information that's going to change your perspective on what you've just heard. And it's the case here in number 3. Because David says, they've increased against me. Their accusations are that there's no help from God for me. But wait, Selah, rest just a moment. And then David tells us the reality of what God had taught him as he goes into verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. There's that gimel. That's what you need to be looking for. What does gimel mean? It means lifting up, an exaltation, an ascension there, if you will. That's what that gimel is referencing. It is speaking of blessing and unity and loving kindness and culmination. We find it there in verse number 3, as David said, no, that's not the case at all. My help is in the Lord. He is the one that's with me. He is the one that's lifting me up. He is the one that holds up my head. He is the one that's strengthening. He's my shield, he said, my glory and the lifter up of my head. Oh, how wrong they were to say there's no help for him in God. David says that is his whole strength. The lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. In fact, for David, it was just the opposite of what they were accusing. God was with him. And David declares he has all confidence in God and what God is working here in this situation. David said he was praying to the Lord. That was immediately after David come out of Jerusalem. He crosses the brook Kidron in the dark there with his 600 that are following after him. And he crosses the brook Kidron and goes up on the mountain there, and he immediately bows down and worships and prays. And David has confidence from that point forward, he was heard of the Lord. I prayed and he heard me, David said. He heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. the shield of his glory and the lifter up of his head. It is in this same place that we read in Matthew chapter 27 again, or I'm sorry, chapter 26. Matthew 26, as our Lord would come up into this garden, that he also would pray there. Verse 39 of that chapter, he went a little farther, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Again, our Lord never desired to be delivered from the cross. That was his purpose. That was his hour. He endured that because of the joy that was set before him. He never asked to be delivered from the cross. He knew that's what he had come to do. That was the covenant of redemption between the Father and the Son, that he had come to give himself for us. The cup that he was speaking of is that separation from his Father, when he would become our sin, when my sin and your sin was put upon him, and that turning of the Father's back from him, when he would cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Our Lord had never experienced that separation. He had always been with his Father. But he would become our sin, or our sacrifice for sin, and having received that sin for us, was separated from his Father, suffering our judgment for us. David says in verse number 5, "I laid me down and slept." David was so confident that the Lord heard to him, he said, David said, "I rested." I rested. Here he is, he's run out of the kingdom by his own son. His family's turned against him. The kingdom's turned against him. The tribes are all against him. They've taken his home. Absalom would defile David's home. And yet David is out there in the wilderness asleep, resting, knowing God is my protector. God is my sovereign. God is my Lord. He is my shield. He said, "My glory, the lifter up of mine head." David rest in him. "I laid me down and slept. I waked," he said. In other words, he got up when he was done sleeping. He wasn't forced to wake. He didn't jump up awake, scared, wondering what was going on. The alarm clock didn't go off. Nothing of that nature. When he got done sleeping, David awoke. He's awake and ready to do whatever the Lord would have him to do. He rested in the Lord. "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." For the Lord sustained. And so he says in verse 6, "I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about." David ran afraid when he first crossed that brook Kedron that night. He was afraid. But after he talked to the Lord, he said, "I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people that's gathered around me." He knew he was in the hands of the Lord. Even if the world was against him, he knew he had the help of the Lord. If we truly fear God, then we have no fear of man. If we truly fear God, then we have no fear of man. For what can man do to us when our God is on our side? Verse 7. Arise, O Lord, save me. O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. All the Lord does is rise up. That's all David said. Rise up, O Lord. All he does is rise up and our enemies dash to pieces. It's a dreadful thing to be the enemy of the child of God. A dreadful thing to be the enemy of the child of God. For God will have his vengeance. He will have his justice. Nothing, not one transgression, not one sin, not only against him, but against his people, will go unpunished. He will have his vengeance. And so it is a dreadful thing to be an enemy of a child of God. Oh my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. And then he says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Salvation, or our deliverance. David's not speaking necessarily of spiritual salvation here, but just physical salvation, of being delivered. But in every case, no matter the salvation, whether it's physical salvation and deliverance from our enemies, or whether it's spiritual salvation to deliver us from our sin, our God is the one that is in control of every salvation for his people. It all comes from him. It all belongs to him, you see. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. We serve the sovereign God of this universe. His will always be done. That even when it doesn't make sense to us in the time in which the troubles may come our way, where we might find ourselves running across the brook Kidron from those that are behind us, and we are wondering, Lord, what happened? Why is it that all this has come upon me? Why is it that this is following me now? Why is it that I'm facing this situation in my life? We can rest assured our God is in absolute control. He knows exactly what he is doing, and he is continually in the midst of that trouble. He is continually the shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. It is in him we rest. It is in him we have peace. It is in him that we have deliverance. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He is the sovereign Lord. He blesses his people. Those blessings now are not upon everyone, but they are upon his people. Thy blessing is upon thy people.
Selah. Rest, David says.
Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed.